Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to Parkcast, park fans. We are your podcast for theme park fans, and we're here every week with your weekly dose of theme park chat. I'm Bex, and I'm delighted this week to have someone joining me, someone who's very big in the theme park industry in the UK, but has never yet been on Parkcast before. James Mellors, welcome to Parkcast.
Thank you. A little bit red in the face today. It's quite a warm one.
It is a warm one. We're sweating, but we'll be all right. We'll get through this. I'm so glad that you can finally join us on here, because we have been speaking to a lot of independent parks in the UK over the last few months, but we have not had you on, and you are making waves, I think, in the theme park industry. You've shocked us all over the last year. So I thought, let's get you on. Let's chat about what you've been doing recently and what the future is looking like for you and the Mellors Group in general, because it is an exciting time for you. Obviously, Lightwater Valley, we will get onto, and that is your most recent purchase, but it started a long way back for you and for the family. You are from a family of showmen, so you've grown up in this industry.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's part of it, is that we've just got a love for it. I think to really thrive and for people to be able to see what you deliver, you've got to have a passion for it. And I think people see that within the parks, and especially your rides and your equipment and things, people can see that it's much more than just a job. When you've got these rides, you want them to look the best. You want everything, Lightwater Valley, for instance. Now I'm putting flowers in there. There's bits that I'm doing that people won't really notice.
We've
got a lot of pride and passion. But when people go to Disney, everybody aspires to be Disney. I think it's just because they are so good at everything. And it's all the small pieces. It's everything that makes the total package. The difference with ourselves and Disney and things is we don't have the cartoons. We don't have the financial backing of what they have, obviously, because of everything else. So it's very difficult then to make it financially viable on everything you want to do and deliver everything you want to do at the same time. So there's certain areas, the word cutting corners isn't quite right, but we just can't do everything to the complete standard we wish. But we're always thriving together.
Yeah, and in relative terms to Disney, it's still early days for you. I mean, you've only just bought Lightwater Valley in the last year. So, yeah, no, and I think no one expects miracles overnight, certainly not enthusiasts.
As you said, we've come a long way as a family. When I was in school days, when my father made sure that me and Edward went to full-time education, because he didn't do full-time education because he was on the travelling shows on the fairgrounds. So he had to be out all the time working. So he only went to school probably 6 weeks a year or 8 weeks. He literally did no education. So he really wanted myself and my brother to get that education so that we could, move things on. So when I left school at the age of 16, I finished my GCSEs. We only had two rides. So who would have thought then that, we'd have ever been in the situation where we are now? And none of that was necessarily a plan. It was passion. When I left school, I think we had the tropical fever, Miami, if anybody remembers that, and the Orbiter at the time, and we had a kiddie ride, a Formula One. And then we quite quickly went on to change. We wanted something bigger because I'd left school. We went out to Germany to look at buying a Flick Flack. But the Flick Flacks, the horse ones, was too big for the UK market. So we thought, great, let's make one at 54. And we went to Hamburg and we fell in love with a shake.
Okay.
And then we came back and we bought a crazy shake. So we went there to do one thing.
Yeah.
So a lot of it was, again, not necessarily planned. I think a lot of our life and growth has been about passion. We bought the crazy shake. That was a lot of work. Absolutely loved the ride. Realized then there was more money in the rides because that was doing better than what the Miami and things had ever done. It then didn't need me and my brother. So we bought the Frisbee. We ended up moving the two rides. The Frisbee did better again. So I was like, well, okay, what next? The Towers was taking money in the continent. So I was like, right, let's get a tower. And it just grew. Yeah. And then when we bought the tower, I was like, wow, the tower's doing great now. So if the tower's doing this, what could a roller coaster be doing? And we gradually worked from not doing a lot of work on a Miami and Orbiter to moving a crazy shake, which was hard work at the time. But it was me and my brother.
Yeah.
So we kind of broke the back between us. But then once we got used to it, it was like, actually, I could do this on my own. You go and do your ride. Hence the reason we got the Frisbee. And then we realized, actually, we can do both of these. Let's do another one. And that's how it grew. So in a very short time, we went from two small rides to having five of the biggest rides in the UK, especially when we bought the Rapids. So we was moving two lorries a week up to around about, was moving 22 lorries a week.
Wow.
Within only a few years. So yeah, that changed quite quickly. But I think I always had in the back of my mind that when my first child was four, because we were traveling the country, we were everywhere, loving life, I've got to say at the same time. Again, it wasn't just work. You know, it's a hobby. It's a hobby. It's everything rolled into one. So we were really enjoying it, or I was. My brother ended up settling down more. He was working in the office based. So at the time, there was only my brother and one other person working in the office. Now we've got, I don't know, four office blocks, four separate offices with each people would, you know, we've got accounts in one area. So everything's very split. But at the time, there was only Edward and one person. And I was doing the operations outside. But we wanted to try and change. Again, when my oldest was four, I wanted them to have a full-time education. So I wanted to try and change the management of the way I did things. But I found on the fairgrounds, it was very, very hard. To get people to come in and have the passion that you have as a showman, especially moving around. It's very different when people can live in one location and go to work each day. But we were changing people's home location every week because that's what the fairground does. That's when we started to change and diversify. And we sold a lot of the rides off. And we went down to the observation wheel, which was doing good business for us. And we just started to back off and say, well, actually, what can we do different? And we went into the themed events, beaches, winter wonderlands. So we started to go that kind of route, keeping what we did. And then we realized then that really with the rides and things, if we were going to get anywhere in life, if we wanted to expand, we felt like we needed to hit London. We needed to hit bigger cities. Nottingham was just too small. So in 2011, we did the Royal Wedding. I
Wow,
think
it
it's
must have been
2011.
a crazy thing to get that call.
Well, to be fair, we chased it a little bit at the same time. You know, we had the biggest observation wheel mobile in the country at the time, so it was us or nobody for that kind of thing. But we were trying to chase those kind of projects, and then following that, we got the Olympics in 2012. But again, that was through people we'd been working with, Live Nation. They ended up running all the events for the Olympics, and we'd been doing the music festivals with them for numerous years beforehand. But we were coming from a different direction then because we'd done the themed events. We weren't just a fairground. We were trying to deliver something a little bit themed, a little bit different, but we had the fairground experience. And then in 2013, we won the contract in Dubai. So from 2011 to 2013, we had a lot of quick changes. We then ended up with a Starflyer on the South Bank for numerous years. Was operating out in Dubai for 4 years, Chester Christmas Market, Liverpool Christmas Market. So yes, it just expanded in a different direction from where we were originally.
You happy at that point with how things were? Because you're saying you wanted this kind of
I
settled
think so,
life.
yes, because we weren't moving week in and week out. That was the difficult thing. Organizing a Christmas market and then going and hitting it hard to install for 2 weeks and then leaving a management team for 6 to 8 weeks was a lot easier than setting a ride up for two or 3 days or five rides, operating it for a few days, then taking it all down, then moving it again. People don't realize how hard it is to be a showman and moving the rides week in, week out.
No,
So
I
yeah, that's the way it went. But I think a lot of it came because we enjoyed what we did.
I think if you didn't enjoy it, there's no way you could have put in that graft. You couldn't have dragged yourself out of
No
bed
way.
every morning if you didn't.
There's so many times I say to my kids, there's easier ways to make money than what we do. But even my kids, they all said, but what else would we do? We enjoy doing what we do.
That's nice though that they say that to you as well. It's still in their blood as well. They're not like, no, I'm gonna go and be a vet or something.
But no, ex exactly that. Exactly. My daughter at one point did say she'd love to be a vet or something, but then she realized it might mean putting animals down when they're not well, so she quickly changed her mind.
It's so nice, I think, that you have still got this family trade, and obviously, like you've just demonstrated very quickly how quickly you kind of grew into those positions. Obviously, 2016, life sort of changed again for you, I guess, when you bought Fantasy Island.
Yeah, it did. I mean, Fantasy Island's a park that I've been to since young. Not many times, to be honest with you, but we bought the big wheel. I bought the big wheel personally, off of John Woodward. So I went down, met John Woodward, where the wheel was originally in Fantasy Island. He took it out. So I met the owner of Fantasy Island back then. He flew in his helicopter, came to meet me. In fact, I even went up for a fly around in his helicopter with him. You
You're
know,
older
at
than
the time,
me.
I was only a young 20-odd year old,
Yeah.
probably 27, 28. Done the biggest deal I've ever done in my life. I think it was the biggest deal that we'd done as a family, as an individual deal. The wheels worked out great. Yeah, so we knew that Dubai was never going to last forever. So Dubai was 2013. Our contract was due to end in 2017. So we came to a point where we said, well, okay, we need something. What's going to replace the revenue from Dubai? What's going to replace the work? You know, if we lose that project, we're going to come home and sit in there twiddling thumbs looking at each other. So we purposely went out looking for a park or something. We never went looking for a building or residential because it's not what we do. We wanted the assets. We wanted something that we enjoy doing as a family that we could, you know, put our brains in. So, yeah, in 2016, we bought Fantasy Island on the understanding and thinking that we'd finish in Dubai in 2017, which actually did happen. But we were prepared that if Dubai got extended, then we'd do Dubai as well.
Yeah. Okay. And when you took on Fantasy Island, what state was it in? Was it needing investment? Were you taking on something that was in decline, or was it something? Yeah.
Yeah. It was in administration. It was in administration. And I think we quickly realized that, I mean, we actually looked at Brighton Pier at the same time as an option to purchase Brighton Pier. However, Brighton Pier was running very well at the time. We went to Fantasy Island. We thought, you know, this is in decline. The previous owners hadn't been investing where we felt it needed it. It lost its showmanship. It lost its magic. You know, I keep saying I want to put the fantasy back in the island. It lost it. It was just a name.
Yeah.
Signs were boring and square. There was no passion. It was like somebody said, make me a toilet sign. It was just block letters, toilet. Whereas when you've got a bit of passion about it, you know, I want a star, put a design. How can it blend in? You know, I get involved on too much at times because if I see a sign or something that's boring, I'm like, oh, come on, put a bit of love into it. So I think Fantasy Island was something we felt that we could change quite quickly. So, yeah, within a very short time operationally, we did increase the revenue there. Holding the margins has been difficult throughout the years because expenses are now just gone through the roof. But I'm pleased with what we've created. You know, I think feel like we're putting the magic back in there. I remember watching the first fireworks show, what we created. And me and Edward actually sat with a guy ourselves and created the Fantasy Island theme tune.
Yeah.
And we sat there on the sofa and he's making all the music and we said, it needs more magic. It needs more bells. It needs more Disney. It needs something there. And we got this theme tune. I remember just sitting there looking at Edwin. And I was like, wow, that's got some passion. It's got something about it. And then we made the fireworks go to this music. And I remember watching the fireworks for the very first time. And for a lot of the visitors that go to Skegness and things, they don't go to Disney. You know, I'm very fortunate to have gone and seen what these other people deliver. And to see people going all the oohs and the wows, but not just like normal fireworks, it was emotional. And it was emotional for me. And I stood there at that point and I thought, yeah, we've created something special here. This is really good. And one of the market traders actually came over to me and she said, I have never seen anything like that in the whole of my life.
Oh, wow.
She said, well done with that. She said, I'm looking forward to it. And that was a pride moment when you feel like somebody's noticed something that you've done.
Yeah.
And that came from passion. For myself and my brother.
Yeah, well, you made a difference there. And I mean, it's my local park. I live about 20 minutes down the road when I'm in the UK. I take my daughter there and she absolutely loves it. Jellykins Coaster was one of her first roller coasters. And I mean, you've still got the smoothest Vekoma in the UK by far.
I know, everybody reminds me. And it's a great coaster. It's
it
a
is.
Great first coaster for big kids because it's not too scary. It's very smooth. You almost do the loops without knowing you do the loop.
Yeah.
So I think Fantasy Island's got a lot. I mean, people would say, are you happy with it? When we first bought Fantasy Island, I didn't want to take my friends. When people were saying, can we come and look at your park? And I was like, can you give me 12 months or, you know, give me a couple of years?
Yeah.
Now I'm more than happy.
Yeah.
You know, I'll say to people, come over. You can stay in the vans, go in the show bar. You know, we've got so much entertainment. We've tried to create different food venues now. So we make sure it, you know, where people are staying over, it's not just burgers. And that's all it was before. Everybody wanted to sell a burger. So I've tried to make it now, even though some of them don't make us any revenue, they don't make any profit, but it adds to the offer of what the overall park does. And that's where we've been trying to go.
I've noticed the theming is definitely increasing there as well. Like on the rhombus coaster, the station is themed, and you know it didn't used to be that. Is that something that you've thought, no, we need to start adding these little bits in, and it's,
Absolutely,
yeah.
absolutely, and it's not finished. Not nothing's there's finished. I think
Will it
when we
ever
did
be finished?
it, no, it's an ongoing project. And a bit like, again, I'll go back to the Crazy Shake days. We bought the ride, built the ride, and everybody said, "Wow, that's a beautiful ride." But then before the first Goose Fair, I ended up putting light stickers and things on the gondolas. I changed the colors of the arms. Then we fitted flags. Then a couple of years later, we fitted canopies, and then I fitted extra lights. As a showman, there's always something else to do. You know, you always start adding a little bit more. You never just sit there with something and think that's it. And I think that's the thing with a park. It's a never-ending story. Never ending.
I think
We'll
people,
never get to where I am fully happy. Never.
and I suppose that's a good thing. I mean, I don't think there's a theme park in the world that's ever finished, is there? You will always be looking for the next best thing.
Exactly that. And that's the thing with this industry. You know, there's always something else to keep driving you on and doing. You know, if you're in a fish and chip shop, what you can only do so much. Whereas with a theme park, you could keep adding, but we just don't have, again, the budget. So the rhombus, we just said, let's leave it for now. Let's focus on where's more important. And now we started to build the rhombus. We've obviously changed the name a little bit now to Rhombus Express. There's a bit more theming to do on that, and then it will continue to the next ride. I think the time machine was one that we needed to do because the magic was just looking a little bit sore. It was looking old, and it felt like it was pulling the park down. And there's going to be, every year there's going to be changes.
When people go for the first time, the feedback that I always hear is how surprised they are by what's in the pyramid, because that is like you are walking into a totally different world, and it's so well done in there.
Yeah, one thing I'd like to do is a few more attractions in there. I want to get the Guardian better.
Okay.
You know, so
Do you
there's
know,
things
I
like.
went to that park for like about 5 visits before I even realized it was there.
And I think that's half the problem in there. People don't quite realize where everything is. I would like, there is some more tricks up the sleeve, let's say, where I want to try and get a few more attractions in there. The idea of it, again, is, you know, it's the biggest indoor entertainment space on the East Coast. Our lovely weather in the UK isn't always as hot as it is today. So that's why we don't have aircon, unfortunately, in this office. This is a work office, so there's no aircon here. But it tends to rain a lot. So as well as giving people that outdoor entertainment, when they're in Skegness and you're on holiday, and you have if people are renting the caravan and they're there for the week, they need to be entertained in all weathers. So that's the reason we felt like we needed to focus on the indoor the pyramid first, because rides are rides. But now the indoor the pyramid is looking in a good condition. It's where we want it to be. So now we've started to drift back to the outdoors. You know, McDonald's we knocked down last year because we're trying to do some more with the spaces. I want to move the rides around a little bit and make a better connection. Again, it's very hard, but if you go back to Fantasy Island, there used to be a row of market stalls where currently is the Twister. And that separated the indoor of the pyramid and what was known as the fairground area. But now we're trying to make the pyramid and everything all feel as one.
Oh, that's, and I think that's great. And I often say, why do we not have more indoor areas in our theme parks in the UK? You know, you go over to Plopsaland, just over in Belgium, or Toverland, and they've got these great, huge indoor areas with loads of rides in. And yeah, it makes perfect sense that we have that in the UK. And I'm really excited to see what you do with that, because I think that's excellent. As I say, I live down the road, and my daughter's 5 now, so she's in school now. But I spent so many January Mondays and Tuesdays in Skegness, at the aquarium, and it's the most eerie place to be at that time of year, because there's no one else around, and there's like a fog rolling off the sea, and to have something to do there when it's not great weather, I think is fantastic. So yeah, I'm really excited to see what you do with that, and I'm sure if you say you've got a plan, it's an exciting plan. Also, of course, Fear Island, that gets amazing reviews. Now, I don't do scare mazes at all, but for the weirdos who do, they say you do an amazing job with that.
I didn't used to like a ghost train, if you want me to be honest.
I don't like a ghost train.
I used to go to Newcastle Town Moor when I was only young, again, and Gilbert Chadwick and people have Frankenstein's Castle. Used to scare me to death. But when the other kids were like, come on in there, I was like, oh no. But I had to like brave and just go in with because the other kids. But I actually was a ghost inside my uncle's ghost house for quite a while. And I enjoyed it being inside the ghost train. Nowadays, you'd get in trouble for it because I was too young to be working in a dark, confined space. But back then, it's just what life was. You got on with it. I used to have a Freddy Krueger glove and give it the roll of the fingers.
Okay, yeah, nice.
I used to have a baton and a mask. And I used to move around inside my Uncle Spencer, Uncle Ernest Hall's ghost house. And I used to go inside there with John Lowry, who used to act as the gorilla. And I used to have a little secret run so I could get the same people probably three times in the same ride.
Yeah.
So I used to enjoy being the ghost side, but going in them, hated them.
Yeah, no.
However, I've done a couple of scare attractions now over the last few years, and I've realized actually they're really good fun. In the strangest, weirdest way, you get scared. But I don't get scared on roller coasters anymore.
No.
You could put me on any roller coaster, and my kids always, again, moan at me because when I'm on there, I'm always looking at the foundations, the theming, what's around, back of house, what can I see? I never actually really enjoy the ride very much because I've done so many. I've done rides all my life. But the ghost, the scare attractions are another roller coaster, if you like. It's about playing with people's emotions. And when you come out at the end, you can't help but laugh. Now, a roller coaster is probably like the scare attraction is for me. Some people are afraid of heights. Some people don't like the speed. So when they scream on that ride, and then at the end of it, they all laugh. And that's the same as a scare attraction. So I get it a lot more than what I ever did. But I've got to be honest, our creative, Dave Bateman, he's been the mastermind of a lot of it, but he really has the passion about scare attractions like I have about rides and roller coasters.
Yeah.
So he's really helped us come along. But we wanted to extend the season at Fantasy Island. Again, like you said, the weather's not great. So we knew we needed a bit more in the October, November to try and extend the season. Otherwise, we literally were becoming a 6 to 8 weeks business.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've tried to work on it. We've won lots of awards. I'm really proud of them, to be honest with you. Really proud of the team and what they've achieved. We've now created a complete zone which is going to stay built, and we just change attractions and bits around in it. But yeah, no, it's been interesting.
I think it's great. I mean, like I say, the reviews that I hear from it are that it's definitely one of the best in the UK. So yeah, kudos to you and the team over there who've made
I
that
walked
happen.
through one the other day in the daylight. Obviously, it's roasting hot like this, and even that still freaked me out.
Yeah, you will not be getting me in it. Let me just be very clear that I do not do them at all. But yeah, excellent work on that one. And then, of course, well, it can't have gone too badly at Fantasy Island because whilst we're in a weird time financially for the UK and we have had awful stories of theme parks closing down over the last few years, big theme parks, you decided to buy another one last year.
Yeah, and I think that came on the back that 2016 we bought Fantasy Island, 2017 we finished in Dubai, as we said, and then we kind of got running Fantasy Island. Then we ended up winning a contract in Saudi in 2019, and then since then we won a contract in Qatar, another contract in Kuwait. So we kind of just grown our team to handle everything we've got. And then with a few of the contracts coming to an end, it was like, well, okay, go back to Dubai years when we said, now what? So we thought, well, okay, do we have another go? It's difficult. Like I said, it's very, very difficult to keep the margins. Probably, again, would have been better in something else. But if you don't enjoy it, there's no point doing it.
Wouldn't be as much fun if it was anything else.
Exactly. No, it's what gets you out of bed every day.
Yeah.
So, Lightwater Valley, again, we felt like it's a park with so much potential. It's a park I went to as a child. I remember the glory days. And going back there now, it's still such a beautiful landscaped park
Yeah.
that it feels like it ha and everybody I've taken there has said the same thing. You can feel it's got it. It's got it. It's
Yeah.
just missing something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of that something is magic and rides.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where we thought we'd come in, try and add the magic back a little bit, bring some of the theming elements back in as we've already done now. I don't know if you know, but we've already built a fire station there, which actually was my
Yeah.
son's idea. Bought a fire engine to go in there, so we're creating a village.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday on social that I saw you posting about that.
Well, the point of the village really is, again, is Disney, Main Street USA. We always go there and wow, look at the theming on this place. It's amazing. Well, it isn't theming. It is, don't get me wrong, but it's based on America. If you go to New Orleans and you go to Nashville, It's these old-fashioned buildings. It's America. Disney is celebrating the best of America, which is Main Street USA. So when you're in the Yorkshire Dales, as we are, I thought, well, why don't we just make a village? We've got the brick buildings. We should focus on that. Why do we want to be anything but a British village? So that's the line we're going down. We're trying to make a traditional British village with its traditional fare, hence the carousel, the waist ringer, and the big wheel,
Amazing.
and the skill games, and so we're building that traditional village. But then the long-term vision is you will leave that village and go into other zones.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, the rest of the park is still to grow.
And again, we all appreciate that. We know that Rome was not built in a day, and we've all watched the sad decline of Lightwater Valley over the last, well, few years, quite a few years. And I think we were more glad than anything that someone had saved it. I mean, I could see that park just being left to rack and ruin if you hadn't another Camelot. So I think that's great. How was it a tough decision? Was there times where you thought, oh, now we're going to need to back out of this. This is too much to take on, or was it always like, no, this is for us?
No, there was never a point of thinking of back out. I think every decision we've made is once you've committed, I've always thought, what have I done? What have I done? And I think that was when we first bought the big wheel, when we first had the crazy shake, when you all of a sudden you take on that extra load and problems, you always tend to think, what have I done? Everything was going okay before. We're a family business. As you know, I don't want to make the wrong mistake for my kids and for their futures. As you said, a lot of theme parks, unfortunately, are closing down. And sometimes you think, are we doing the right thing? Why are we going into this further when other people seem to be trying to get out? And that's the only worry. But once you get your knees under the table, you start enjoying it. I walked around the park again the other week, sun's shining, kids are happy. You just try and forget how bleak the winter times are. And you just think, you know what? Yeah, I can see it. I can see it. You've got a vision. We just need the money to build it.
Are we going to see the ultimate V2?
See, it's a tricky one. If you said,
That wasn't an
if
outright
I
no,
had the
James.
money,
I'm just.
no, the answer, if you had the money, would you build something like that? Of course. If I could build something massive like that again, I know what that would do for the park. So absolutely, I'd love to. Is it the right decision for the park at the moment? Probably not yet. People keep saying, oh, why can't you go and put whatever ride in? Because it needs more rides. As a business, there's no point putting a 14 million pound roller coaster in there. There isn't, because there's going to be one ride. People are not going to come very long for one ride. So we have to make the rest of the park better first. We need to build up. If I had unlimited budget and I could put a 14 million pound roller coaster in and another 10 rides as well, fantastic, but we don't. So never say never, because again, go back to the beginning of the conversation. I never thought we'd have owned Fantasy Island, let alone two park. So, if you go back 20 years ago, 20 years, 20 years ago, I was still, driving the lorries, setting up fairgrounds, moving them around, doing everything else with a few rides. So in the 20 years, I'm really, when we say go back to 2012, so the last 14 years, the business has changed massively. So give me another 15 years, you never know.
Okay, I'll give you 15 years. We'll have this conversation again. So your plan, that sounds very much like your plan at Lightwater Valley is get the flats in, I guess get the family rides in and build it up that way.
A little bit, a little bit. Yes, we want some flats, but I do know that Fantasy Island and Lightwater Valley are two different packages. Very different. I don't want Lightwater Valley to look like a fairground,
Okay.
even though that's my history, is where I'm from, very proud of it. Fantasy Island, absolutely. Fantasy Island, everybody goes there. They love the music, they love the flashing lights. It's a different package. In Lightwater Valley, it's something else. So whilst I do want flats, of course, I think the parks need them. It needs coasters, it needs, but it isn't just roller coasters. We've already put two shows on in there now where, the pirate show and things. People just want to be entertained. That's it. You're going out for a park, you're going for a day out. People want entertainment. They don't necessarily want to be ushed from one queue to another. It's what do you do in between?
Well, I'm glad that you're thinking about that because I think there are some larger parks who could definitely learn a bit from that mentality.
I agree. I agree. And I think, and I don't mean it disrespectful in any way, because I think any business and things that's grown and doing things that they're doing have done something right. But it's keeping that passion. And I think that's the key thing. People need to go there and not just be a job. You need to put that passion back in, but that needs to go from the top down. As you said, my hands are dirty. I've got my work t-shirt on. I'm in the works depot today. You'll always see me out and on sites. I'm chasing a gearbox at the moment for one of the rides. I shouldn't have to do it, but as part of it, I enjoy doing it. But I help the team. And I think that's what's made it very different for us to come into places like Fantasy Island and like Water Valley and help turn them around, is that many times, without being disrespectful again, a lot of, let's say, the maintenance teams or different people almost manage the park because, and unfortunately for them, it's a responsibility that's put onto them. So it's easy for everyone to say, let's buy new, let's just do this, let's just do that. Because, let's say you're in a PLC company and you're head of maintenance, you're quite a long way down that ladder still. And then if things go wrong, you're the one that takes all the blame. Whereas I can make my own decisions and take my own blame. There's not many other CEOs that would actually make that decision on a roller coaster, or they pass it to somebody else, and then it gets to a position. Government's the same, where nobody wants to make a decision in case they're making the wrong decision, so they don't make any decision at all. And that's the problem I've found with a couple of the parks, is that it's when they've been run by corporates and things. Unfortunately, it loses that last person or somebody that's able to just make a decision, and that's where the difference where we've made in the park. If somebody's got a problem with a ride, I'll be in there, show them how to fix it myself. I don't have to be calling in everybody else.
No, you do need to not overstretch yourself as well.
No, but I enjoy it. That's the bit I enjoy. In the boot of my car now, I've got my rucksack with my voltmeter, my screwdrivers. I literally take it with me because I'm fortunate that when I grew up, again, I started with one or two rides that were quite basic because back in the day, everything was just hydraulic with small electrics. So I learned from there. And every ride we got more complicated. Through my education at school, I did design technology, nothing major. I think at the age of 15, I had to build a traffic light system or something simple. However, that taught me about circuit boards, resistors. And then every time we went on, I just taught myself more and more and more. With different electricians that would call out to help us, but I'd always be over the shoulder. Well, how does that work? How do you do that? Where now, I can read electrical drawings and do most of it myself. But it's only because of the education. I think if I came into the position I'm in now, I would never go back to that CEO. I would never have been boots on the ground person again. It's only because of the way I've grown up through it.
You've seen every aspect of it, and I think that's helpful as well because you remember what it is like to be in all those positions as well. You haven't just come in as a manager, and you've got no idea what it's like on the shop floor,
Exactly. I never ask anybody to do what I won't do myself.
which is a great attitude to have. And from a lot of the parks that I have spoken to, and the family-owned parks, you will say the same thing, that you have to go in and you have to get your hands dirty. And I think that's great. I've seen on social you are currently installing your like driving cars for kids, basically. That's where you're up to at the moment. What can you tell us what's coming next, or is that all a big secret? Have you got a plan for the next year or so?
It's all big secret because we don't even know ourselves. The driving school is really my son, James William. He's been leading on that project. He bought the cars. So he's been leading on that. Well, again, we only bought the park in January. So I've been trying to understand a little bit more on the accounting side, just making sure staff rotas that we're being as lean as we can, but ensuring that we're not cutting corners to cut the quality of service and what we can deliver. I've been looking at additional revenue streams. So yeah, it's great again having my son there now, also with a passion about the business, because I'm able to leave things to him and he's got a passion about it exactly the same way as I did, where even down to the telegraph wires to put the power in and the little details again. I mean, he just sends me pictures all the time, the little details of bits that he's proud of, but that's exactly the same as I was. And that means then that we're giving it everything we can. If we're proud of it, then the customer will be proud.
I think
So
it's
the
really
driving
good as well.
school's one thing. Reason again is we wanted to add something new and additional for the juniors. We felt like a lot of it was just flat rides that just went round in circles, and we wanted to start giving different experiences. I think this winter time will be a busy winter.
Exciting. Cryptic.
Yeah, this winter should be a busy winter. So we've got lots of ideas, things we want to change. We know we've got a lot of land that we're not utilising, people to try and use more of the land, again, to enjoy the day. We want to reutilise the RAP building.
Oh, I was going to ask about that. Interesting.
Well, it's again, it's something that's special about the park.
Yeah, it's always iconic. Been there. Yeah.
You know, it's always been there. I think it's a great asset. So that is something we definitely want to try and use again.
How exciting. Well, I'm sure you are going to do an excellent job there. I noticed as well, you went on, you've been on a little European tour of theme parks quite recently. I noticed you're on, were you heading to Fantasialand? Did you go to Plopsaland?
We went to Plopsaland. We've got Fantasialand. We've got, we've got Asterix to do. So we've got a couple of others that we're going to try and pop out to do again.
But we really want to go and see. Business or pleasure?
Both.
Yeah.
I told you, I'm an enthusiast. However, I was actually going to post on my socials my camera roll, because I think there's about one of me and the kids, and then everything else is on flowers, speakers, yeah. Plant pots, fences. It's both. I love going to parks where I look around and think, you know what, I like this. Again, it's all right aspiring to be Disney, but you need to go to other parks to see their kind of budgets. Plopsaland's still a huge park.
Yeah, yeah.
But you need to try and take the ideas where you can to try and put things into action. So yeah. We wanted to go on the ride to happiness.
What did you think?
Absolutely loved it.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Absolutely loved it. Yeah. I just think the compact footprint, what it's in really, but it has everything with a double launch.
Yeah.
I like the spinning and the Cobra rolls and everything. Yeah, it's really good.
On ride soundtrack.
I think we went on it 6 times.
Oh, yeah. Just that exit out of the station for me, every single time it just gets
brilliant.
Me.
Yeah, it's just a nice steady roll. But again, it's that show. We talk about the showmanship.
Exactly that.
So
yeah.
Everybody that stood there waiting, you see
taking
the show,
photos.
You stop.
Yeah.
The one thing I didn't quite figure out, and I went on it numerous times, is what causes the vehicles to spin when you hit the launch? That's not just weight. Something causes them all to get. And I couldn't quite figure that out.
Oh, well, so, I might have to have
another visit.
Well, I'm glad you love that, and I'm sure. Have you been to Fantasyland before?
No.
Oh, no.
So we've done Europa Park. Way. We went out there with the Mac family, which is a great park.
Yeah.
But again, the great thing about there is it's another showman family.
Yeah.
The Macs, they started off in the fairground industry, so yeah, they're a great inspiration.
Oh, and it's an incredible park. I became a season pass holder this year for Europa Park, which shows my love for that place. And I'm off to Fantasialand next week, actually.
Oh, wow.
For, I don't know what number visit it is, but that the theming there will blow you away. You'll walk into Klugheim and be like, oh my gosh. So yeah, I mean, if you take any inspiration...
Sometimes I don't like those parks though, because it really disappoints me. I get back and I'm like, oh my god.
No, comparison is the thing of joy. Yeah, you do, but I'm sure there will be little bits that you can take from it, even if it is, like you say, the planting. That when I go to Europa Park, it's the planting that I'm looking at. I take inspiration from my garden.
I think the other thing though is a lot of those parks, it is the weather. They get a better weather climate than we do.
Yeah.
Massively, you know, Skegness on the East Coast, we get battered by the winds all winter.
Yeah.
You know, Lightwater Valley up at Ripon. Again, it's just that little bit further north. It seems to have its own climate.
Yeah.
Like the amount of times I've left Nottingham, which is only 2 hours away, in shorts and T-shirt, and I've got there and I'm dithering. Yeah. And vice versa, they can have it beautiful there and it can be blowing a gale out on the East Coast. I'm like, it's just, yeah, the UK is very, what's the correct word? Diverse with its weather and unpredictable.
Yes. Yeah, it is. And it's funny, isn't it? It's not really that much further south when you're in Plopsaland. You're literally 20 minutes from the Channel port. But it is, every time I've been, it's been lovely weather there. And then obviously, yeah, Europa, even more so. But they are incredible parks. I think, like I say, if you take any inspiration from them at all, we are going to be given a treat over in Yorkshire, because it's just great. I think that park has been saved. And I'm actually really pleased to hear you say that you don't want it to look like a fairground, because I think, you know, that there was a worry amongst enthusiasts when it was revealed that you guys had bought it, that it would be Fantasy Island Mark II, which, don't get me wrong, the park's still open. That's a great thing. But to hear you say, no, we want to have two totally different parks with totally different feels, I think is really encouraging. And I'm really excited to see what you do with it over the next few years. I think it's going to be
Me too.
great. Good. Great for the UK. I've not been up there yet this year. I have not been in the UK that much, but I will try and get up there before the end of the summer and before I head back to Saudi myself, so that I can kind of see it and get a good starting point. We'll see over the next few years how everything moves on.
We installed the spinning racer this year. People will notice we put a bit of a queue line. Again, everything was a bit rushed because of the time we had. But it needed a roller coaster. It needed these things back in. So, yeah, hopefully it's already sending everything in the right direction.
I think so. I think obviously there was a concerted effort to remove thrill rides from the park, and they were clearly going in a direction of a sort of a younger family's park. As I would say, the numbers would say that that didn't really work for them. So yeah, so to start bringing those bigger attractions back in.
It didn't, but if I go back to my early comments, really, risk increases, obviously, with bigger rides. Hence, they did have a couple of incidents and things in the past. Then you've got to get the right team in. I'm not scared of rides, and I think that's the point. And when you've got a CEO or a board or somebody else, and they get scared of rides because of something in them, they're not sure how to manage them. They have to ask the maintenance team. And I think all when you're running a business, anything that feels like you've got no direct control over is a bigger risk. But I don't blame them as a business. And I think that's the problem, is a lot of the parks now, it's so costly. People don't realize how much it is to maintain these rides, health and safety requirements, not necessarily on safetiness of the rides, but just the actual documentation, the paperwork, everything you have to do now makes what used to be a simple job a difficult task. It's not changing the safety of the ride. It's more about the documentation and everything else. So yes, the costs go up with the thrill rides, and that's the difference, I think. And if you've got a fear of the rides, I don't blame them. But yeah, it's not definitely not the way we would have done it, and it's not the way we want to do it. I'm not scared of rides. I enjoy rides, so we want to see more of them.
Oh, and so do we. I guarantee you the entirety of the UK enthusiast community is behind you on that one. James, it's been wonderful having you on. I really do look forward to seeing how things evolve for both parks and all the work that you do, like obviously in the Middle East as well, over the next few years. I know you're very, very busy. You've got a lot on your plate, but it's definitely very exciting. Before you go, I have one final question for you.
Just gotta ride it.
This is Just Gotta Ride It. It's the part of the podcast where I ask my guests, imagine a world where every single roller coaster is about to be destroyed and you can only save one. Which one are you going to save for us all? It doesn't have to be one of your own. It can be any roller coaster in the whole world.
I think right now it'd have to be the Ride to Happiness.
Oh, okay,
But it
lovely.
just has everything. It's got the launch, it's got the views, it's got the rolls, it's got the spinning motion. So it has got everything. So yeah, I think at the moment it'd be that one.
Well, I'm very happy with that.
So anyway, no, the one other thing I want to say is thank you for having me on. But I do want to say to all the enthusiasts and everybody else, thank you again for the support, what they give to the whole of the industry, not just to us. We do get lots of comments. I enjoy speaking to people because, as I said, I'm an enthusiast myself. I do like watching podcasts and different things on the social media. I like to hear people's opinions. Not that I agree with everybody, but everybody's allowed opinions. But I do appreciate, and I know the industry really does appreciate everybody's support, because it is key. Things like Water Valley, again, if it's not getting the visitors, if people aren't supporting the local parks, then they will close, and that more will close, because it is extremely difficult to manage those margins now. Obviously, with an increase in wages, increase in national insurances, government taxes, you can't get spare parts anymore since COVID. Factories hold less, so downtime, unfortunately, is more of a problem now. And it's or you hold loads of spare parts, but then it's cash flow. So it's a very, very difficult business to manage. So all I'd say to enthusiasts is please be patient with your park owners. Obviously, always have your opinions, but be patient. I want to see this industry thrive.
I think we all do as well. And I know we have some very vocal opinions within this community. And I can say 90% of them are done with the best of intention at heart. But yeah, we want to see you guys thrive. And when I say you guys, I mean the entire industry as well, because you operate the places that we love and that we want to spend our time. So we definitely want to support you. And I know there is a consensus to support local and family run parks at the moment as well. So we should definitely all be doing that.
Thanks again.
Thank you for joining us, James. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button. That means you never miss an episode when I release a new one. There you go. You're pro. I don't know. Up there. And if you'd like to, wonderful, let me just get a disco beat underneath that. And if you'd like to leave us a review, you can do that as well. That always helps. For now, though, we've been Parkcast.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.